It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Democrat Tony Evers will be Wisconsin's next governor, but Republicans will maintain control of both houses of the state legislature. We're looking at the results from a variety of legislative races around the state, including two rematches between candidates who faced off earlier in special elections. We also look at the prospect of divided government once again in Wisconsin and discuss whether we're potentially heading for gridlock or bipartisanship in the coming months and years. Tell us about the races for state legislature where you live. What were those results and were you happy with them? And with all this talk of a blue wave, do you think Democrats could have done better in these legislative elections? How are you feeling about the prospect of divided government in Wisconsin once again? Do you think we're heading for gridlock or bipartisanship? What issues are you hoping both parties can come together on? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email address, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. David Helpap is Associate Professor of Political Science at UW Green Bay. Among other things, his areas of expertise include state and local government. David, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you for having me.
Leading up to Tuesday's election, there was a lot of optimism among Democrats that a blue wave could come crashing over the state legislature. Well, that didn't happen, as the GOP held on to their majorities in both the Senate and Assembly, and actually they expanded their majority in the Senate. So, David, right off the bat, would you say this is a bigger win for Republicans or a bigger loss for Democrats?
Well, I think from a legislative perspective, there certainly was optimism that, particularly in the Senate, some of those seats could have been flipped. But at the same time, the districts that they were hoping to flip, the composition made that not a particularly easy task. So while the expectations were there that Democrats could have done a little bit better, realistically, it was going to be an uphill battle, and I think you saw that, especially with the higher turnout. These districts, the composition of them, provided a much bigger base for Republicans to draw on than for Democratic challengers.
Heading into the election, Republicans had an 18-15 majority in the state Senate. So where are we now with that?
Well, that's gone up, and I think probably the most prominent district there was the first, with Andre Jacques and Caleb Frostman, and I think there was a lot of hope there because Frostman was able to win in the special election, but Andre Jacques won actually quite handily in the election that we saw this week.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think was behind that?
Well, again, I think that Frostman, he performed really quite well in the special election. Door County in particular helped him carry that race. But in the other counties south of Door County, there was a lot more participation this time around. And with the composition of the district, there was just more people that would naturally vote Republican than Democrat. And those are the people that turned out in greater numbers for the general election.
The GOP also went into Election Day with a 64-35 majority in the Assembly. And what does the count in that chamber look like now?
Well, very similar. The GOP has a pretty substantial, lead in that chamber. And there wasn't really any expectations that that was going to flip or even change substantially. So I think you find yourself in a position where we're looking at a very similar situation when it comes to the Wisconsin legislature than we had prior to the election this week.
So there was no real expectation that Democrats could flip the Assembly. Can they even win seats here, additional seats, the way the current boundaries are set up?
Well, obviously it's going to take something similar to what we were, or what Democrats were hoping for, you know, this time, a large national trend in favor of Democrats. You would need some very particular issues to stand out that would motivate voters and perhaps get some voters to flip or cross over. But I think for at least the foreseeable year or two, or perhaps even further than that, they're going to be pretty firmly controlled, especially the Assembly, by Wisconsin Republicans.
David Helmpap is Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay. Among other things, his areas of expertise include state and local government. Tell us about the races for state legislature where you live. What were the results, and were you happy with them? And with all this talk of a blue wave, do you think Democrats could have done better in these legislative elections? How are you feeling about the prospect of divided government in Wisconsin once again? Let us know at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Send us an email. The address is ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings on Twitter. So there weren't any real surprises in legislative races around the state, were there?
No, I don't think that's... I mean, there was a close race between Roger Roth and Lee Snodgrass to some degree. In the Appleton area, but beyond that, I think, you know, just about all, I think every incumbent in the Senate won. The Assembly didn't change much, so there really weren't too many surprises, I'd say that.
We talked already about the race between Caleb Frostman and Andre Jacques, the rematch, as it were. Frostman won in the special election. Andre Jacques won rather handily in the general. Elsewhere, Republican State Representative John Plummer held on to his assembly seat that he won in a special election just 5 months ago. Was that the expected result?
I think so. Again, you see a district that, there was hope there that there could be a flip. The district presents itself in a way that's going to be much more advantageous for a Republican candidate than a Democratic candidate.
Yeah, we all remember Governor Walker didn't want to call the special elections earlier this year, saying they were a waste of taxpayer money, but ultimately the courts forced his hand. But now that everything is said and done, can we say whether or not having these special elections actually made any difference?
Well, you know, if you look at the results, it didn't make a difference. But at the same time, like, these are general elections that really should have been held as they were, and perhaps a little bit earlier. So... if the difference perhaps in the general election wasn't great, but at the same time, if this is what the process calls for, this is something that should be seen through.
Let's go to the phones and take a call from Annalisa in Green Bay. Annalisa, good morning. You're on the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you. I would just like to ask Dr. Helpep what role he thinks gerrymandering might have played in these results in the state legislature. We know that we went to the Supreme Court about this issue, and so it's widely acknowledged that the Republicans gerrymandered this heavily after the last census. So I just like his opinion on that. I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, David Helpap, what do you think about what Annalisa had to say there?
Well, I think we see from the results a few days ago that, you know, running for statewide office is very different than running in a legislative district. So we have a governor and a treasurer and a secretary of state and attorney general that all win for Democrats. They were very close elections, decided literally between tens of thousands of votes. But at the same time, you see a state legislature where there's a very significant advantage for Republicans, especially in the Senate. The margin is closer, or especially in the Assembly, and the margin is closer in the Senate. So I think you see a very divided, very purple state at the higher state level office, but less so within these legislative districts. So there could be a number of reasons for that, including geographic location of partisan voters. But at the same time, the way you draw these districts also certainly can have an impact in who's voting for who.
Of course, now the next step is we have a new governor and we'll have divided governance, a Democratic governor, Republican legislature, and we're wondering how they're going to work together. We have Sean in Burlington who wonders that as well. Sean, good morning.
Good morning. I think the answer to the bipartisanship issue came from Robin Voss yesterday when he said that apparently he doesn't like the way the people voted. So he said that... he wants to look at ways to limit the governor's power I'm not sure how he could do that other than by overriding a governor's veto. And that's my question is, can they override a governor's veto? I just think it's horrible that the boss just doesn't apparently care for the republic.
Okay.
I want
to give our guest a chance to answer that. What about it? Can the legislature limit Tony Evers' power, and do they have enough votes to override vetoes? That's actually two questions.
Well, with regard to the vetoes, the Republicans will not have enough to override vetoes, and making any change to that particular institution would require a constitutional amendment. So there really is no way that the veto power could be changed prior to Evers taking office. With regard to other changes that could be made, we saw that with Governor Walker, a number of institutional changes were made to agencies to create different priorities within agencies, and then also the amount of power that the Department of Administration had in the state of Wisconsin. So I think you perhaps could make some changes there, but you know, some of these core functions of the governor, like the veto power, will still be available to the governor. His ability to write a budget and set priorities and be able to speak to the public in a way that legislators simply cannot, those types of key powers will remain.
All right, David Helpap, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and our conversation will continue. Appreciate your being here. David Helpap, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay. His areas of interest, among other things, include state and local government. To our listeners, how are you feeling about the prospect of divided government in Wisconsin once again? Do you think we're headed for gridlock or bipartisanship? And what issues are you hoping that both parties can come together on? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Our conversation continues in a moment. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, if there was a blue wave in Wisconsin, someone forgot to tell the state legislature. Democrats swept all the statewide races, in some cases with razor-thin margins. But the Republicans are still firmly in control of the state legislature. It actually increased their margin in the state Senate. So what happens when Democrat Tony Evers takes over as governor in January? Will there be bipartisanship or gridlock? What do you want to see state government get done next year? Which issues are important to you? And what's your expectation for how divided governance will work? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. David Helpap is with us. He's an associate professor of political science at UW-Green Bay. And among other things, his areas of expertise include state and local government. We have a call from Dennis in Two Rivers. Let's take that call. Dennis, good morning. Welcome to the Morning Show.
Hi. I figure things are going to be about the same, because when one party is for something, then the other one is against it. So they're just they're more interested in serving their parties than they are in serving constituents.
All right, Dennis, thank you. The verdict here from Dennis is that we're just going to see more gridlock. David Helpap, what do you think?
Well, I think the possibility certainly is there, and especially as one of your callers indicated earlier, that leadership in the state legislature came out yesterday and said, you know, perhaps that we should think about the different powers that the governor has. If there are too much, maybe we should think about limiting those. And that probably isn't the best good faith effort to indicate cooperation at the outset. Though the governor-elect seems to want to pursue cooperation, he said that at this point. But given sort of the polarization in the state and kind of the way things have gone recently, the possibility of gridlock certainly is there.
Well, there was a discussion elsewhere on WPR. In fact, it might have been this program earlier this week about that very thing, the idea that I believe a caller said, hey, could it happen here like it happened in North Carolina, where the legislature basically hamstrung the governor once it changed, the House changed hands from a Republican to Democrat. And the response, I think, from our guest at that time was, well, that would be kind of politically short-sighted, because you have to think that at some point there'll be a Republican governor, and would the Republican Party want to see their governor limited, and that might actually prevent them from taking that action. But, I mean, do you see them maybe doing something in spite of that possibility?
Well, you know, I think you see that, or we saw that in Wisconsin just yesterday with regard to the recount, where the governor and the legislature pursued a policy that would make it much more difficult to have a recount in election. And then because this governor's race was so close, I mean, that could have been a possibility, even though the votes fell just outside of that 1% threshold. So you're absolutely right when you say that if you start to make institutional changes, this does, you know, hamstring the person who's in office at the time. But then once the other party retakes the office, do they then make institutional changes again? Or is that person now just as limited as his or her predecessor?
We've got a couple of months before Governor-elect Evers would take office. Prior to the election, there was a talk from GOP lawmakers of calling an extraordinary session in November to consider a Foxconn-style incentive package for Kimberly Clark. Do you think that option is still on the table for state Republicans?
Well, I think it's an issue that was clearly very important in some of the legislative races in Northeast Wisconsin, particularly the Roger Ross Lee Snodgrass race. It's an issue that's very important to voters in this part of the state. But I think the legislative Republicans probably need a little bit of time yet to figure out what their priorities are going to be going forward and what their strategy is going to be going forward. But I think the GOP legislators in Northeast Wisconsin would certainly like to see that issue continue to move forward.
So when does the next legislative session actually start?
Well, you'll start to see action in January, and you'll also start to see sort of a new budget process moving forward as well.
And, of course, the way the budget process works in Wisconsin, the governor, the executive proposes the budget, and then the legislature takes it up and does what they're going to do, and then it kind of goes back and forth. So Tony Evers has got to put together a budget.
Yes, he does.
Once the next legislature is seated, other than the budget, what do you think will be one of the first issues they tackle?
Well, obviously, you're going to have two different sets of priorities. You know, to go back to our discussion of gridlock, I think one of the kind of common ground issues at this point, perhaps one of the few, is transportation. This is where Republicans have actually struggled to come up with a solution to how to fund transportation projects in the state, and this is also something that Tony Evers campaigned on. And there has been actually some support within the GOP in Wisconsin for additional revenue sources for transportation, which Tony Evers has also expressed interest for.
Well, and that's a really interesting point, because the real sticking point in getting anything done the last time was that Governor Walker just said, no, we aren't going to have any more new revenue sources for transportation, and that's just that. And Robin Voss didn't want to borrow any more money, and so they just kind of kept butting heads and nothing got done. Maybe Tony Evers will be easier to work with on that. We could actually see some bipartisanship there. Do you think?
I think that's very possible. And I think if both sides kind of want to get an early policy win, so to speak, this would be the place to start. Because other things like substantially increasing money to education, or dedicating more money to health care, those types of issues, I think they would be much more difficult to find cooperation at this point.
Let's take another call. Sarah is with us in Zion, Illinois. Sarah, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, John, thanks so much, and I'm so glad I had a chance to talk to you before, while you're still here, because I just love listening to you.
Oh, thank you. And,
well, you're welcome. I live down here in Illinois, and we just voted out Bruce Rauner, who said that he was like that Scott Walker was his role model, and it was so divided. You know, we had a Democratic state legislature and then Bruce Rauner as governor, that Illinois didn't pass a budget for almost 2 years, and everything just came to a standstill, and nothing got funded, and social services just got decimated because they just weren't getting funded, and it was just terrible, and that's why Bruce Rauner is not our governor now. But I wanted to ask a couple questions. First of all, has the Wisconsin state legislature gotten more extreme because than it was a few, like maybe 6 years ago, because people retired, more moderate Republicans retired? And my next question is, does Wisconsin have a provision where the citizenry could put a referendum on the ballot to redraw the district?
Okay, let's get answers to those questions. We're running out of time. Let's take the first one first. Do you think that our legislature has gotten more partisan and more extreme, David Helpat?
Well, I think you see sort of similar to national trends, where some of the more moderate members, people who were historically more willing to work across the aisle, have left the legislature, and they've done that over the last 5 or 6 years. So in that sense, I think those sort of moderating influences have indeed left the legislature.
And could there be a popular initiative to redraw legislative districts? I'm thinking the answer to that is no, but...
So there could be some type of an advisory referendum, but Wisconsin citizens actually don't have the ability to go to referendum or initiative and force the legislature to do anything.
Of course, in a few years, they'll be redrawing the districts again, and this time it'll be a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature, so it could be a little bit different then, and we should probably take a whole show and talk about that. Unfortunately, we're pretty much out of time here, David Helpat. Thank you so much for spending this time with us and kind of helping us get some of this stuff in perspective.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
David Helpat is an associate professor of political science at UW-Green Bay. Among other things, his areas of expertise include state and local government. I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.